Glenn the Toolbox Show. Podcast for October 10, 2013. Yes, I'm back for another edition of the podcast. I'm sorry that I haven't done a podcast in nearly a month. Bad me, bad me. I've been busy, man. I'll talk about that in a moment, but we got to talk about the last time I did a podcast. That was, we did about the Star Trek convention, talking to all those famous people and different people. And then we talked more about the job hunt. This podcast, maybe something new. Who knows? Like I said, I've been busy. What's been going on with me? You know, I've been working with No Quarter, the Led Zeppelin tribute group. Great success at Showwear Center. We didn't meet the goal of over half. I think we did meet that goal. We got close to it. Still working with them, doing a lot of their social media marketing. Matter of fact, they have a show coming up October 19th. That's 9 days away from this podcast. At the Little Creek Casino in Shelton. Tickets are $10. It starts at 3 o'clock. It is an Oktoberfest. You do need to buy tickets for this through the Little Creek website or show up in person. Like I said, $10. You do get a free beer stein, though. And that's like an added bonus. So go check them out. They're a great Led Zeppelin tribute group. It was the first time I've heard them live. And I swear I was hearing Led Zeppelin on tape or CD. They're that good. Go check them out. So what's this podcast going to be about? Well, my job search might be just coming to an end. Sort of. And we'll talk about what's been going on with the job hunt. We'll talk. I found this article a while back. Let me see. In early September. Matter of fact, last month. 21 reasons why you didn't get the job. We'll read those and see what we think about that. And then we're going to talk about car shopping. Yes, me and my wife are getting a brand new car, and been reading this wonderful blog, and I'm going to share some of that information with you as a way to help you out and a way to get you the best deal for a vehicle. So let's talk about the job hunt. What's been going on with that? Well, you know, I've been going on more interviews lately. I know I'm working for Zeppelin, you know, the Led Zeppelin Experience featuring No Quarter. It's very slow. It's part-time as needed when it needs to be. We just reached 51,000 fans. Now, I wish I could put the applause in here, but I'll do that. I know it kind of sounds dorky when I do that, but, I don't have that instant replay like they have on the regular radio stations where I can press a button and I can have all these sound effects come on in and populate, you know, the podcast. I know it kind of sounds dull, but it's the style that I'm dealing with. It's the equipment I'm dealing with. So like I said, I've been working with Led Zeppelin. And that's been going great. Great success at the Showwear Center. Didn't get the iPad yet. They're working on it. The condition was sell out half the arena plus 100. And we came very close. I think we sold, you know, the capacity was 2,500. And I think we sold 1,000. Which was a great thing. As for what, you know, I've been going on more job interviews, like I said. Matter of fact, I just got completed with a job interview on Monday with a law firm looking for a marketer to help out, and they called me back for a second interview. And that's a positive thing. When I talk to this guy, and I'm not going to mention what kind of law firm, not yet, don't want to jinx it, don't want to give you much detail about it, because I don't know much about what they want. But I dressed up like a lawyer, literally. I put on a nice suit, which I always do. I didn't wear my, you know, wacky ties. I usually wear something that kind of gives myself personality. I usually wear a Star Trek tie, a Mariner's tie, or a Seahawks tie, or something of the similar. This time I wore something more pizzazzy. I starched his shirt really nice. And I went up there, and the guy says, you're the top of the list. And I said to the guy, so why are you looking anymore? You found what you want. Why don't you just offer me the position, and we can go from here. Let's get started. I guess he doesn't make the final call. Even though he's the head of HR, he's impressed with my resume. He enjoyed talking with me. The thing is, he asked for a writing sample, and some of you might know that my writing is not that great, but he didn't care. He did ask for a writing sample, like I said. I said I didn't have anything current, but he asked, you know, we were talking about certain things. He wants to send out an email to a lot of his clients to do a review for him on Google Plus reviews. He didn't have much information about it. He didn't really have the time. He's a very busy individual. And I says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll craft this email for you. And I will give you all the, I will send out all the, I will do the information as a sample writing, for a writing sample. And I got home that night. Told my wife I was, you know, this guy was excited. I was excited. I mean, I think I'm going to be a good fit for the job. As for the location, I think it might be a little stuffy, but that's a law firm. And I have to adjust to that lifestyle where it's very prim and proper. So I don't know anything about hours, pay, or anything of that nature. He's having me come in this Friday. And I have another interview with another law firm at that time. So I'm hoping that he's just going to say, congratulations, you got the job. Start for me a week from Monday. Which would be great. He just wants me to meet with the partners or the other attorneys. And discuss what I can do for them, how I can do it for them, and where we can go from here. So that's really great. Like I said, I've been going on a lot of other interviews. A lot of them don't pan out. I did get a call from a recruiter for Starbucks, and it was deeply insulted by them saying that I did not have the qualifications. So I asked the lady and says, what makes me not qualified? She says, well, you don't have the experience. You've been working with mom and pop places, which I do, and you don't have experience working for a Fortune 500 company. And I tell the lady, says, you know, I've been working in, you think about this as like baseball. You work in the minor leagues for years and years and years. You build up your experience and knowledge of the game, and then you get promoted to the majors. This is, you know, this is similar to what I, you know, what I've been planning to do. I've been working in the minors, you know, working for mom and pops. And when a major league company comes along, like Starbucks, usually you get the position because you showed experience in that sense. And they says, well, maybe you need to work as a junior analyst, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, hang up. I'm not going to talk to you because you're just going to not going to, you know, it's not going to be a good fit with me when you totally degrade me at that point in time. So I said, enough, you know, click, end of conversation. So, you know, I think this law firm will be a good fit. It's only part-time right now. Unless I was not offered the job, I do have the other interview with another law firm that is full-time. Who knows? I prefer to be with this one company because it's really close to where I'm at. So, with that being said, let's talk about this article I got from U.S. News and World Report on 21 reasons why you didn't get the job. And this was found through Yahoo Finance. And it's by Vicky Salemi. Salemi. And she gives up 21 reasons why you didn't get the position. And maybe some of these reasons will help you realize what you're doing in a job interview or a resume that will say, okay, maybe I need to adapt and try something new. So number one, it's taught too little or too much. How is that possible? I mean, I can understand talking very little, but talking too much. I mean, I can understand overdoing it, but an employer wants to get the most information out of you, so they made sure that you're the right fit. I mean, the interview I went on for this law firm, it was scheduled for 20 minutes. It ended out to be an hour and a half, which was great. You appeared nervous and lacked self-confidence. Yeah, I guess that would be a reason. Interviews are intimidating, but try to put your best foot forward as always. Your soft skills were not too sharp. I don't know what a soft skill is. Your technical skills were not up to par. You might want to consider doing more. Getting more technical skills. If they ask for something, pick up a book, take a college class, read more about it. Or they were to the point and you were determined overqualified. How is that possible to be overqualified for a position? I can understand you were working as a 4-star chef in a restaurant and you decided to work McDonald's. That's overqualified. But you know what? If you apply for the position, that means you're willing to do the position. That's my thinking of it. Let me see. Your hiring manager felt threatened by your sparkling skills and spot-on experience. In other words, they were intimidated. They might lose their job if they hire you. You were too vague and didn't illustrate examples when asked behavior-based questions. In other words, how do you deal with stress? You just deal with it. You're not a cultural fit with the team or organization. Okay. That might be a situation where I might not fit with this law firm. That I'm not a cultural fit or not be a team player. But you know what? I've worked in different industries, so it's just a new learning experience. Too much of a fit, or you appear to be overconfident. I don't see how that's possible. If you are qualified to do the position, you're too much of a good fit. I don't see why not. I mean, you want a great quality employee. Why not doing that? Salary requirements might be too high. Yeah, that might be a situation, but always discuss, always be as vague as possible when discussing salary. Don't discuss salary until offer the position. References bailed on you and provide not so pleasant insight. Make sure your references are up to date. Your thank you note had errors. Should you send a thank you note for an employer? Should you? A lot of them don't give you that opportunity. They don't send you they usually call you over the phone. They don't contact you via email. So it might be difficult to send one. But always thank them for their time. You're too aggressive when following up. Don't demand a job, ask for a job. I guess you have a point there. You were late for the interview. You know what? I was late for the interview, but I emailed ahead saying that the reason why I'm going to be late is because of traffic or whatever. Always call them ahead of time, at least a half hour if you know you're going to be late. And have a legitimate excuse like traffic. Or you may not be very polite to the receptionist. Yeah, always be polite to that nice young person or person in the front office. Smile to them because they are the person that usually will see you at your worst compared to where you're going to be at your best in the interview. It wasn't about you, it was about them since they were... They went with an internal candidate. I get that a lot. A lot of internal candidates will apply, and usually they will get preference. They closed the requisition, downgraded or upgraded to something else, or hiring has been frozen. That's legitimate reason. Hiring manager is out of town, so all decisions are held regardless. Okay, that's understandable. They're on vacation. They can't make a decision until they get back. Usually someone won't do that if they're trying to fill a position. You didn't look the part. Maybe you dress a bit informal for And in the interviews you read as you're not taking it's read as you're not taking the position seriously. I rather overdress than underdress. Suit and tie. Here's number 20. You threw your current or former employer underneath the bus. Never do that. Always avoid the question or specify, I don't prefer to talk to them about that. For personal reasons. You're not throwing them under the bus. You're just saying that you're dissatisfied with the organization you're working with and you want to move forward. And finally, number 21, it was simply not meant to be. That is the most cocky mamie BS that I've ever heard. Not meant to be. It's, in other words, we took someone else. They took someone else. Another great example is this: you're not a good fit. You know, that's more of the cultural thing. I'm trying to think of another great examples that I personally dealt with. And they're not coming to mind immediately. This job was not meant for you. I know I've heard that before. This job was not meant for you. And I don't understand why. You apply for the job. You know you're qualified to do the position. They possibly interviewed you. But why say that? This job was not meant for you. I have that bad taste in the mouth right now when it comes to that. So let's just get, you know, hopefully this attorney will definitely offer me a job on Friday. I can be happy. We can move forward. As for podcasts, I don't know what's going to happen. They might turn to once a month. They might turn on weekends. They might turn on days off. So who knows? So let's move forward. To the last section of the podcast, car buying. I know it goes from job hunt to car buying to job skills. It can be wacky sometimes. So let's talk about the job car, the cars. Me and my wife just got approved for a loan for a car. We've been looking for a while. Our car is getting higher in mileage, and my wife wants a crossover SUV, which is understandable. We want a brand new one, of course. But, you know, dealing with dealerships is the hardest thing, you know, because you've heard horror stories. I know you've heard horror stories about how they got screwed over by a dealer or how much more they paid for a car that they should have. So I found at this garage sale that we did a couple months ago, I ran into this guy who used to be a car dealer himself. He used to be a sales rep. And he says, now I'm writing a blog. It's called The Car Buyer's Hero. Don't quote me on that, but it's The Car Buyer's Hero. It's not really well put together, but it does have quality information on how to get the best deal from a dealership in the sense of trying to get the lowest price. So he does give some tips on what to say, how to say it, and how to get the best deal. First rule for him is always get pre-approved through a third party. And that's the best thing. So at least you know how much your spending limit is. So if you decide to, and your interest rates, your payments and everything, that's one step that you do not have to take. And it shouldn't take that long to do the paperwork. Because from that point on, it's not an argument, it's not a disagreement on how much your payments are. You already know what they are. So with that being said, that's one equation that you take out of the field. Secondly, he says, do not discuss money. I know that's kind of hard to say when you are dealing with a dealer or a sales rep from a dealership because they want to talk money. And they will use what they call open-ended questions to get the most information out of you to screw you over. Like, what do you do for a living? How much are you offering a trade-in? Are you offering a down payment? Knowledge is power with these people, and you should keep your knowledge to yourself. So the less information they have, the more power you have. Let me give you an example. Let me kind of go over this, the situation. Another tip they say is settle on the price of the car first before you talk about down payment or trade-in. Don't mention you are going to make a down payment. Don't mention you're going to make a trade-in. Settle on the price of the vehicle first. Because if you give them that information, and I'll tell you why, they will add that to the value of the car and devalue everything else. So if you say, all right, I'm going to offer a trade-in, the trade-in value might be $2,000. Let's just be conservative. They will say, okay, so the value of the car is $30,000. You're going to offer me a $2,000 trade-in. That makes it $28,000. And I think you're getting a great deal because of, you know, this, this, and that. You see how that works? You're not getting the value of the car. Let's say you want to pay only $24,000 for the car, and you want to take $6,000 away from them. You know, and another thing is, before you go to a dealership, do your research on the vehicle. Know what the vehicle is worth, how much it sells for, how much, you know, independent organizations suggest they sell it for. And make sure you get your Costco numbers as well, because that might help you as well when it comes to buying a car. Now, once you settled on the value of the car, then you could discuss trade-in, if there is a trade-in, because they'll try to devalue that trade-in. Once you settle on the price of the vehicle, settle on a price for the trade-in. Make sure you know what the vehicle is worth and what condition it is, and then you can go from there. I recommend you go to kbb.org, Kelley Blue Book, to find out what your vehicle is worth in a good or fair condition. At least you know what the lower end is. The higher end, unless you are, you know, someone that really takes care of your car, it's really great condition. There's no dents, no dings. I mean, it's almost showroom perfect. Then you might get the value for it. But know what always your value is for that car. Now, once you have that number, you deduct it from whatever you offer on that sale price. So let's say you the car is worth $2,000. They offer you $15,000, which is an acceptable deal, and you get the value to, let's say you agree on the value of the vehicle at $26,000. So that's $4,000 difference. They agreed to take off the trade-in value is $1,500. Now you're down to $1,430. So after that being said, I hear my phone going off. I'm going to let it go to voicemail because it's probably my brother calling. And this is important. So after that's being said, now you're down to about $1,550 or $2,550. Which is a great thing. Then you can do your down payment. That means you're taking more off. So that's less that you have to finance. So that's a great thing. So make sure you do your homework. Make sure you give them very little information. Make sure you do everything possible to tell them nothing. Hopefully you'll get a great deal. I will let you know on Friday, because that's when we pick up the vehicle, on how it went on the Nets podcast. Hopefully I will do a podcast next week with great news all the way around, and we'll get you more information on how we can get you employed as well. So I'm going to end my podcast the way I always end my podcast. If you want to get more information about the podcast, you can't go to the website anymore. But there's always the fan page, and that's the Glenn the Toolbox Show on Facebook. We're proudly sponsored by Toolbox Communications, your media solution, and a proud sponsor of No Quarter, the Led Zeppelin Experience. From Podcast Central, a lovely Fox Island, Washington, this is Glenn the Toolbox, signing off.